Well, hey, family, and welcome to Coffee and Kathy. This is Steph from the Grief to Great Day podcast. You're listening to our weekly devotional episode. Now, Kathy, she was the sister of one of my best childhood friends. Each year in the summer, she would tag along when we went swimming or skateboarding, and in the winter, it was sledding. Now, some days that was okay, but some days we didn't want the little sister to hang around. Now, as we all grew up and I moved to North Carolina, I saw very little of her. Then, in 2021, over 4 decades after those summer and winter activities, I heard that not only had she become a children's pastor and lived in Guatemala teaching missionary children English, but she had also gotten cancer. She returned to the States. Her sister began caring for her, but within a couple of months, at the age of 50, she died. Now, what I learned after that made me really sad that I didn't know her better as an adult. See, God wasn't a part of her life. He was her life, and her impact on others was great. These weekly devotionals are a way for you to get quiet, grab some coffee, tea, or a green smoothie, and just listen as I read from Kathy's blog entitled Learned Along the Way. She was incredibly wise, funny, and a fully committed Christ follower. Grief, you know, the thing you're going through right now, it is the hardest thing you'll ever face, so don't let anyone ever diminish that. But let's also not diminish the power of God's word and the transformational healing he will do in your life. I'm a living testimony of going from pitiful, what I defined as brokenhearted, years of tears, angry at God and the world, overwhelmed and confused, to powerful, what I defined as peaceful, joyful, and strong in my trust, hope, and faith in God. You're not alone, and your day does not have to be your forever. Oh, I'm so glad you're here today. So all you need to do now is be still and just listen. A Tale of Two Gardens. God is good, and everything he does is right. Do you believe that? If you do, it will revolutionize your life. If you don't, it will paralyze your faith and demoralize your life. It was the lie, the first lie ever uttered on earth, that the serpent spoke to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say? Genesis 3. In other words, does God really know what he's doing? Does he really have your best interest at heart? Perhaps he is keeping something from you, or you from something that is really, really good, because after all, your eyes and ears tell you that you know better. God is not good, and he does not know what he's doing. Walking by sight always leads to the same conclusion. This is a mess, and God made a mistake. I am sure that is how the disciples felt as their world fell apart that Thursday night. It had been such a high point just a few days before. The world had cheered on Sunday as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and then he kicked some serious butt in the temple, turning out the thieves that were cheating the people who came in to make sacrifices. It felt really good. Jesus was finally getting the glory he deserved. He was finally doing something about the evil, something besides talking about it and praying about it. And then to celebrate Passover with him once again, oh, a grand climax to a grand week. Sure, he had been a little strange all week. At the end of the triumphant ride on Sunday, he had cried instead of being jubilant. He had kept talking about how he was going to die. But he still had masterfully handled the religious leaders all week as he taught at the temple. Surely that counted for something. Yes, there had been the whole bit, the Passover dinner, about being betrayed, but it would all be okay, right? Because he had gotten away from angry crowds before. Once in his own hometown, they had tried to throw him off a cliff, and once when they picked up stones to stone him. He had slipped away both times, so surely this time would be just like that. Only it wasn't. Thursday night, they went to the garden with him to pray, and they fell asleep, only to be awakened by shouts, torchlights, Roman soldiers everywhere, and that snake, Judas, kissing Jesus on the cheek to identify him in the dark. And then all the night trials, and the 39 lashes the next morning, the mocking and spitting, the jeering and taunting, name-calling, beard-pulling, blindfolded and struck across the face, a crown of thorns, bruised and bloody, and things rapidly going from bad to worse. Why did he take it? Why didn't he make it stop? After all, he had raised the dead before. He healed the lame. He calmed the wind and the waves. And then the ultimate confusion, the unthinkable, a death sentence followed by a death march through the streets of Jerusalem, out to the Hill of the Skull, the place where common criminals died a common death. Thousands of people had been crucified before, but none of them were Jesus. And the sound of the hammer striking nails rang out over the hillside. Where was God? Why was he allowing this? Surely he had lost his mind. Surely he had forgotten to be kind. Surely he had made a horrific mistake. Or they had. Maybe Jesus wasn't the Messiah. Maybe he did get his power from the devil, just like the religious teacher said. Maybe they had wasted 3 years of their lives following this man. He appeared powerful for 3 years, but now he was defeated. He was not good. He was not right. This was not right. God is not good, and he does not know what he's doing. The lie of the Garden of Eden, turned upside down and exposed in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus said to his Father, "I don't want to do this. I do not like what is coming. I know you have the power to spare me from this, but I yield. I submit myself to you to do whatever you want." Because unlike Eve, Jesus believed in the goodness of his Father. He knew that his Father is good and everything he does is right. Even when it feels horribly wrong, even when it is unjust, even when it means death. God is good, and everything he does is right. Because as you well know, the story does not end on Friday with a crucifixion. It both ends and begins again on Sunday morning with a resurrection. God takes what the enemy intends for evil, and he turns it into good. Because he is good, and everything he does is right. Now that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in all those who believe, Ephesians 1. All those who can believe because God allowed the unthinkable to happen to his one and only Son, John 3:16. You and I, much like the disciples, only see part of the picture. In the midst of the pain that comes with life in this sinful, fallen world, it is much, much easier to believe that God has lost his mind or was never really God at all. But he has promised to take every problem, every crisis, every diagnosis, every rejection and bad choice and work it together for your good and his glory if you are his follower. Romans 8:28. If he can do it with the horrific torture and death of his beloved Son, he can certainly do it for you. Because God is good, and everything he does is right. Do you believe that?